This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Rich Baum from beautiful, sunny, warm Sacramento.
And Brian Berkowitz here from sunny New York.
Is it? And welcome to Shooting Spaces. We're so glad you would join us for our podcast. How you doing, Brian?
I am doing fantastic. I'm in the midst of a couple month long shoot that I'm traveling for. Every other week I'm away from home. So it's a little bit rough. It's a little bit exciting, but gotta chug along. You know, a lot of time in the car, a lot of time in hotel rooms, but it's fun stuff.
Let me know how your wife is taking it after about a month or two of this. So
yeah, well, when I get paid, I guess it'll make things a little better. But
flash the cash for
that's
your wife.
It exactly. Okay. But it's all good. But it's going to take me this job is going to take me through the beginning of November. So it's going to be a long one, and it's going to be exciting.
Great. Yeah, I got I wanted to bring up a little thing. I bid for a job, a commercial job, about 2 months ago. And I was actually this morning thinking, they're never going to call me. They went for somebody cheaper. You can hear it on the phone. It's too expensive. I got a call. We're ready. It took 2 months to get cleared, but we're ready to go forward with it. So if you're out there thinking, put your bid out there, and if it doesn't come back right away, don't worry about it. It may never come back, but if it doesn't, it may come back after some time. So anyway, I'm released.
Well,
they're excited today.
To prove your point, this job that I'm away on, they first inquired with me back in end of February. So it's been a 4 to 5 month process just to get this going. So
yep.
Nevertheless, but we are pressed for time today with our guest. So
I know.
I want to get right into it and introduce him. But before I do that, I got to give a little read from Cloud Pano. A fast way to add revenue to your business is 360 virtual tours with cloudpano.com. Get started today for only $1. Try out Cloud Pano Pro Plus, add revenue to your business, and continue doing what you love. Visit shootingspaces.net/cloudpano and start your $1 trial on Cloud Pano Pro Plus today. And with that, I guess we can introduce a man who's been on our show before. I was just looking up the date. It's been just about 2 years ago. Chris Miller out of Palm Springs, California. Is that right?
La Quinta, Palm Springs area. Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was that area.
Greater Palm Springs. The locals refer to it.
Cool. So thanks for joining us, Chris. And I know you've been on the show before, and we were kind of talking about back then, 2 years ago, you know, you and your business and how you got started. But we're bringing you on for a little bit of a different purpose today. And that's kind of to go back to before you were a photographer, you were in IT and you have an IT background. And that's why we decided to bring you on, because we wanted to talk about workflow and backups and archiving and all that type of stuff. And who better to bring on than a photographer with IT background? So
I like talking about that stuff almost as much as I like talking about real estate photography. So
you lead a very interesting life there, Chris. Okay.
That's cool. We're going to get a little nerdy today with our talk. But why don't you just give people a little bit of your background in IT just so they understand where you're coming from, and you know how that transitioned into photography, because I want people to know that you know what you're talking about and what you say should be trusted.
Yeah, sure. So I studied business administration with a degree in information technology from Cal State San Marcos outside of San Diego. When I was at the school, I started in the computer department at the school as a student employee. And by the time I graduated from Cal State San Marcos, I was lead student network technician for the school. It was exciting because the school at the time was really growing. During my senior year, a six-story library IT computer center was being built. And me and basically three or four other guys, a couple of school employees and a couple of student employees, actually built the network infrastructure for that building. We had another building that was across the freeway, and we did a wireless bridge literally across the freeway from one building to the other, you know, on the same network. So I got to do some interesting things at the school. And I also went to school at night at a tech school to get my Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer credential and a few other IT industry standard credentials. And then after that, I worked for an IT consulting company in North County, San Diego, and for 3 or 4 years managed computer systems, computer networks, backups, and servers for various companies. The company that I worked for specialized in small business support. We had a lot of law offices, CPA firms, doctor's offices that were large enough that they had a small computer system, but not large enough to have a full-time IT person. So I was the IT guy at a lot of small businesses managing networks and servers and things like that in some high-pressure environments. CPA firms and law offices are, you know, 20 minutes of downtime, get a little slack for that. So I did that for 3 or 4 years, and I'd always had this artistic itch that wasn't really being scratched. And this was 15 years ago, digital cameras first came out. I got a Digital Rebel. It was like one of the first ones, and Photoshop was just becoming a thing. And I had a job so I could buy it. I bought this camera. This, you know, it was high-tech hardware at the time, right? A Digital Rebel, and Photoshop was high-tech software at the time. And I started working with it and started taking pictures. And I had my left brain and my right brain, you know, I was like, I've got this technology, this advanced hardware and this software, but then I'm using it to create something artful, and I can be artistic with this technology. And that was my light bulb, my big epiphany. I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do with my life, because it was a combination of tech and art.
Cool. And you never looked back. And, you know, even the 2 years since we had you on, your work is just growing and growing and growing, and some of the spaces you get to shoot. I mean, I see some of your houses and the mountains in the background. I mean, it's, you know, it kind of makes me a little jealous, you know, living in the big city.
Sometimes it makes it a little easier to have good subjects, that's for sure.
Well, look, as we're on the subject, Chris, why don't you tell us your website and
onepointmediagroup.com. I got my swag on.
Yeah.
At least my one single piece of flair. Uh-huh. Yeah. onepointmediagroup.com. We cover basically three regions in Southern California, from the Coachella Valley, Inland Empire, to Mikila Valley.
And for people that don't know, aren't familiar with Mr. Miller, you're known as doing, you do like two twilights a day. You do morning twilight, evening twilight.
Yeah, when the seasons are cranking, there aren't enough sunsets in the day. So we do two a day, yeah. And now three. I've got another guy out here that's doing them with me. So, you know, we'll do one in the morning, we'll do another one at night.
And, yeah. You know, how do you feel about, you better watch for what you wish for. You're cranking, but you seem to be delegating and adding people onto your team. So that's the big thing, right?
It's helped immensely. I brought on a few photographers, one primarily in my region that I've been kind of offsetting some of my shooting load to. Mm-hmm. I have him capture for me, and I have an integrated system with my website and my server. And a team of editors. We all work off of this one NAS that's in my laundry room right behind me. And it's an amazing bit of technology to be able to collaborate with photographers all over the state and editors all over the world, you know, all literally working out of my laundry room. So you don't have to leave the house as much. That's the other thing. Yeah.
Cool. So speaking of that, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but, you know, the NAS systems. But the point we wanted to bring you on to, I guess, simplify workflow. I'm hearing a little bit of an echo, but simplify workflow and all that stuff for people that come home. You know, they unload shoots on their cards, and most people, or I don't know, I'm assuming a lot of people just work off their local hard drive and dump it to an external sometime or another. But we want to teach people the proper way to, first off, have a workflow. With different drives or RAIDs or all that stuff. Maybe even you can teach us a little bit about RAIDs and some of the best setups for having a RAID. I know I have a RAID, and I know, Rich, you have a RAID, and we have different RAID setups, and I don't know whose is better or whose is worse. And maybe different options for backups and go into that.
Yeah, sure. So we'll start at the beginning, say, you know, somebody just starting out, but they're doing professional work, right? They're getting paid to take photos. At the bare minimum, say you have a computer or a laptop that has a hard drive in it. There's an old saying in IT, two is one and one is none. meaning, you know, a copy of your data, right? If you've got two copies of it, you have to think of that as one copy. If you have one copy, you have to assume you could have zero copies at any minute. So what we derive from that is you need to have three copies of your data to really be considered secure. And there are on-site and off-site backups. There needs to be one of each. So you've got your computer that's got a hard drive or an external drive. That's one. A second on-site backup could be an external hard drive is fine. And then a third off-site backup. And, you know, at the bare minimum, a computer with a hard drive on it, an external hard drive that you have copying your files to that external hard drive. So you have two copies physically in your workspace, and then a cloud service like Backblaze. Amazon has one now. Synology has one.
I use CrashPlan. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's all the same type of stuff.
Yeah. And so at the bare minimum, an external hard drive and a cloud service that you have programmed to accurately copy that data. And there are lots of automation tools, you know, where when I put a memory card in my card reader in my computer and I ingest using PhotoMechanic, I've got it set up to where one copy goes on the server, and that night it's automatically copied over to my cloud service that I use. So as soon as it goes into the computer, by midnight, there's three copies. And all I did was control I to ingest. So, you know, that's the ideal way to do it.
Now, Chris, let's just bring up, what about the point of entry, which would be your camera? Are you always using dual card slots? And how do you deal with that?
When I went over to the Z6 last year, I had to forego dual card slots.
Oh, I can't believe you did that. I cannot believe it.
Yeah. So, but I still have my 850 and my 750, and I wouldn't shoot anything that I couldn't easily replicate on a single card slot. So I shoot day-to-day real estate with it, no problem. If I got a portraiture or a lifestyle session or anything with people that are scheduled, I'm going to use the 850 or the 750, that simply because when I use those cameras with dual card slots, I always have the second card programmed to create a JPEG backup. So I've got raw files going on card one, and I've got JPEGs backup going on card two. No, I don't use a camera ranger. Can't stand it.
See, I got the new camera ranger because I use the EOS R, which is also one card slot. But the new camera ranger has a built-in SD card slot, and I can set the camera ranger software to take everything from my camera and do a backup to the in-camera ranger SD card slot. So it basically turned my single card slot into a dual card slot.
Yeah, we did that recently. I did use a Cam Ranger recently on my wife is a portrait photographer, and we did a real estate brokerage. We did 17 or 18 realtor headshots, and I had a laptop there running that was, you know, so they could look at the photos, and I had noticed that you could do that, and I was doing that at the time with Cam Ranger. I was getting one on the hard drive and one on the computer, but I don't like to use them when I shoot real estate. It slows me down too much.
So there are a lot of differentiating opinions on whether to work off your local hard drive, work off an external drive when you're just doing your basic editing. I'm not talking about storing or backing up, but even just in Lightroom doing work. I heard once upon a time, and when I heard this, I just kind of went with this, and I don't even know if it's right, where on my local hard drive, I pretty much have nothing but software or apps. And then everything I do is either off an external. I mean, right now, looking at my computer, I have a 6 terabyte RAID plugged in and 2 externals, which are always plugged in at the same time. And I'm doing all my work. I usually do my work off my externals and then transfer them to the RAID once they're finished. So is there any, I mean, I'm not asking if it's right or wrong, although you can't tell me, but is there any truth to that logic where it's maybe better to store files and work off externals and just leave your local hard drives for software and apps?
So there's a trade-off with speed, you know, but it really has more to do with the type of drive. If it's a physical spinning disk, you know, the old style hard drive versus a solid state drive, right? So if your computer, for example, only has a spinning disk, the old hard drive in it, and you've got an SSD on a Thunderbolt connection, for example, on an external, you got an external SSD drive on a Thunderbolt connection, I would assume that that would be faster than working off a spinning drive that's inside your computer. So it has more to do with the type and technology of drive and the connection versus whether or not it resides inside the computer or outside the computer, because the new USB 3.2 and Thunderbolt connections are so fast. The new SSD drives are so fast, whether they're inside the computer or out. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to that. I work off of my server. And so it's not just an external hard drive, but it's a network hard drive. But I've got a gigabit Ethernet connection. The server has SSDs in it only. So I'm working off of not even an external hard drive, but a network server. But I've got it dialed in, you know, with the gigabit and all that I can edit video off of that server on my laptop, sitting, you know, in my bedroom upstairs, where the data is actually downstairs in my office. So it's really more about the connection and the technology than where the actual physical drive resides.
All right. So I have one more question for you, Chris. When someone comes home, you know, I know you said you have a server at your house, but when someone comes in and they ingest their footage, as you called it, or download their cards to their computer, however you want to phrase it, is the first step to always just back up before you start working, or come in and do your edits and then back up once you have finished files? I'm hoping to give people the best approach when they're on a shoot or they come home from a shoot, to make sure that they get home and they're covered and they're safe. And yeah,
I think it should be done instantly. It should be done first thing. And it frankly, like in my case, I love to have things automated. Before I had the server, I used this software called Beyond Compare. I don't know if it's even around anymore, but it was a Windows app that was like $50 or something. And it would run on your computer. And what it would do would be like, you could set it to monitor an internal hard drive. And anytime anything hit that internal hard drive, it would replicate it onto an external hard drive. Cool. So that was a $50 utility. I'm sure there are probably even better utilities out now, and that was 10 years ago, you know, mm-hmm. But the idea is get two copies of that immediately, or at least like what I do, since I only have the one card slot on the cameras that I usually shoot real estate in, I got a lot of cards and I won't use the same card for a week. So you could consider that card, you know, as one of your local copies for sure. That's what I do. You know, I put in a card and it goes onto the server and then it goes onto the cloud automatically. But that card goes into the back of my rotation. I've got, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 cards. So I won't use that card again for another week. Worst case scenario is, you know, if both of my drives crash or whatever, the on-site backup didn't hit, I've still got, you know, a week's worth of stuff on a card. But to answer your question, a second copy needs to be retained, you know, I would say before any editing starts.
Cool. So let's get into RAIDs, because there's, I guess, a lot of different thoughts here. I have a RAID. Rich, I know you just recently bought a new RAID, and I think our RAIDs are set up differently. We spoke about this. I have a RAID 0, you have a RAID 5, and we can get into this in a little bit. But Chris, why don't you explain to people what exactly a RAID is and maybe the different types of RAIDs and what you suggest the best way to do it is, and why it's even important or maybe not important to have a RAID?
Yeah, they're not relatively important. And the scary thing about RAIDs is I've seen way too many people mistake them as a backup. And mm-hmm. I've heard this before and seen it on the forums. Like, you have a backup? Yeah, I have a RAID. And I don't know, they may not be using the term correctly either, or they're not thinking of it properly. A RAID is simply a group of hard drives. If you have, and what it does is allow you to have a single volume, a single drive letter, drive D, you know, actually be a bunch of hard drives. And it used to be more relevant when hard drives were smaller, but now you can get a, you know, 10 terabyte external hard drive or something like that. And so a RAID is one point of redundancy, and it covers you in case a single hard drive fails, and that's about it. The two main types of RAID are RAID 1 and RAID 5. Those are by far the most common. RAID 1 is also called a mirror, and it's simply two hard drives. I know Western Digital makes a WD Duo, and it's just, you know, 2 8-terabyte hard drives in an external hard drive enclosure. And what it does is it just puts a second copy. And that's probably why people mistake it as a backup, right?
But that's what I have. I'm sorry. I don't have a RAID 0. I have a RAID 1.
Yeah. RAID 0 is some kind of hybrid version of a 1 and a 5. But RAID 1 is just a drive mirror. So stuff goes on one hard drive, it automatically goes on the other in a single enclosure. And there's one piece of software that controls it. The downside to a RAID 1 is if you've got 20 terabytes worth of hard drives, let's say you have 2 10-terabyte drives, you don't get 20 terabytes worth of storage, you only get 10. So you only get 50% of your total capacity.
Yeah. So I have a 6-terabyte RAID that's made by Lacy, which really gives me 3 terabytes, but it's exactly what you said. About 6 or 7 months ago, one of the hard drives in my system failed. And the cool thing about the software inside is that I was able to just purchase a new hard drive on Amazon for $100, whatever it was. I popped it in and then it recopied everything back in.
But I have a RAID 5 and I have 4 4-terabyte drives. So out of 16 terabytes, I have 12 terabytes of storage.
My Synology NAS is the same way. It's four 4-terabyte drives
spread out on they spread the information out on 4 drives, but the bottom line is I've got 3/4 of my drives.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it's done, but so the two most popular and common types of RAID are RAID 1, which is mirroring, and RAID 5, which is striping.
And
you have to have a minimum of 3 hard drives to make a RAID 5, and it'll take 3 hard drives and you basically have the capacity of 2 of them, and it spreads the data out amongst the 3 drives. You can add 4 drives and have the capacity for 3 and 5 and 6 and so on and up and up and up. So
my drive took 3 days to stripe.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding me? But just to set them up, it was crazy, but I'm real happy now.
So out of Rich and I's 16 terabytes of drives that we have in a RAID 5 configuration, we have 12 terabytes of usable space.
Right.
Any one of those drives can fail, and somehow it'll retain all of the data that's on it, and you just pop in another hard drive.
Isn't it two drives could fail? I think it's
RAID
5. Right.
That might be RAID 10. I'm not. Okay. Particularly, there's RAID 6. Synology has S-RAID, which is a hybrid of RAID 10 and RAID 5. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
There is a version of RAID where you can, you know, 2 drives could potentially fail. I'm not sure if that's RAID 5 or not. But the bottom line is to not mistake a RAID as a backup. You can have an external hard disk array, right? That's in a RAID configuration, RAID 1, RAID 5, RAID 10. And it's good that it's in a RAID configuration. That gives you an extra level of redundancy, but that still has to only be considered 1 copy of your data, right?
Right.
You got 1 on your hard drive or 1 on your memory card, 1 on your external RAID array, and then another one in your
cloud. If you have a fire, if you have a theft, I used to actually take a hard drive and I would bring it to my neighbor's house and then I would rotate them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're only backed up. Think about the worst case scenario. So.
Yeah. Offsite backup can be next door, you know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the deal. Fire, whatever. You got to have a copy offsite. The problem with the manual offsites, you know, walking a hard drive offsite is how often you're not going to do that every night, you know. Or maybe you are.
Well, that's why I think cloud backups kind of replace that offsite backup. So I know every time I put something in a specific drive that's synced to CrashPlan is who I use, I mentioned earlier. I know it's going to sync immediately, right away.
But,
Sorry, my dog alarm just went off. In my early days of IT, when I was managing these servers for these small companies, their offsite backup were tapes in my trunk, like literal beta tapes. You know, we would, once a week I'd go and pull out some tapes for them and bring those back and put them into storage.
Cool. So I have two more questions while we were talking about RAIDs. First off, is a RAID even necessary based on the storage capacities of externals now versus just getting a big external hard drive? I'm sorry.
No, absolutely not. I'll tell you, I have an archive system also, which is extremely simple. So I've got that 12 terabytes on my server, and that's my working space. I just really just keep current work on there. And stuff that's over a year old, I just buy, now I'm buying the 8 terabyte external hard drives. They're like $150 now. It's crazy, but it's not, they're not RAID. It's not a RAID array. It's a single drive. And I just dump last year's stuff on that external drive and I put it up in the closet. You know,
I had 12 terabytes of current work now.
let me ask you, Chris, when you said 8 terabytes, it sparks me to think Costco, and that I've actually got two of them right here. I mean, God, who could imagine 8 terabytes for $130? But my question there is, as a second or third backup, if you're really trying to do a redundancy trip, are you okay with a Seagate from Costco? Where do you draw the line there?
Absolutely. In all of the major brands, Seagate, Western Digital,
they're all the same. I mean, they're basically
they're all
the
good.
Same.
The drives
but
are
like
all...
LaCie better? Is Western Digital better? No, they're all about the same. They're probably the same drives inside.
They are. They're Hitachi drives, most of them.
There you go.
Most of them. Yeah. Some of them have software features. You know, you can, I know a lot of Western Digital drives have their backup software on them that you plug the drive in and it'll ask you if you want to install the backup software. And it'll do that thing like I was saying about that software used to do. It'll, you know, you can set up, you know, they come with a backup program installed. But to answer Brian's question, if you're just working off an external hard drive, there's no need to have a RAID on that. It's nice. You know, you get a little redundancy there if that drive fails, but you should have another copy of that
data.
That's
what I'm thinking is, you know, if you're working off a 2-drive RAID in my case, or 4 in Rich's case, or I guess 4 in your case as well, you know that, you know, with just an external, if one drive fails, one drive is failing and that's it. That drive is done. At least with the RAID, you know, if one drive fails, you still have everything there. It's not the end of it.
And you can do the same thing by just transferring the information when you're exporting or saving it. You could save it to 2 separate external drives, and all you're really getting with a RAID is sort of ease.
One
of,
more net.
Of use.
One more net. You're getting one more safety net, but it's not a backup.
If you were to take the time to send everything to 2 drives, you're basically doing the same thing. Right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, another thing that's interesting is SSDs are becoming the way. In my server, the 4 4-terabyte drives I have are all SSD.
Samsung T5, baby.
Those have parts. They are bomb-proof.
No, nothing's bomb-proof.
Well, just about. I have my 4 4-terabyte SSDs in my NAS. On a RAID 6, I think, is what Synology calls it. So I'm still doing some redundancy with these SSD drives, but, you know, the only thing I really need to protect against is myself, you know, deleting something. You know,
your kids or your dog.
It's up high. It's up real high. I have to get on a ladder to get to it.
Yeah, the kids will get it. The kids will get it.
But it's amazing, you know, with the minuscule fail rates of these new SSDs, and they're becoming relatively affordable. You know, even I wonder if even in 10 years we're going to be talking about RAID.
Now, let me ask you, as far as redundancy or reliability. Most of the mechanical hard drives, let's go into a little bit of a mechanical as opposed, here's a mechanical as opposed to a solid state. Solid state has no moving parts, spinning disk. The biggest point of issue is upon spin up, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, along with RAIDs, this conversation about moving parts in a hard drive is going to be moot in just about no time. And that's why the drives are so cheap. They're on their way out of the market. I don't know if there's going to be spinning platters and hard drives in 5 years.
Well, that's the problem with my RAID 1 is it's an older Lacy 6 terabyte, but yeah, it's spinning parts. And I know every morning when I come to sit down on my computer, I hear the whole thing start up. It's like, and you hear the whole thing boot up, you know?
They talk about those drives and they measure their response times in milliseconds, you know, 5,700 milliseconds or whatever. But it does take a second. And I can still remember so many computers and servers that I've worked on in the past where the hard drives spin up and you got to wait for the hard drives to spin up. And now my computers and my laptops all have SSDs and you turn it on, you don't hear a thing. The screen just comes on. Just like, I'm ready.
Wow. Well, that's what I have. All my laptops is SSD. My externals that I work off are SSD. I mean, tiny. Like I have little SanDisk ones like this. Look how small it is. That's a terabyte.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have a bunch of these little things. It's literally like bite size. But my RAID that I'm not working off my RAID, I kind of just, you know, storing files there is still spinning. So it doesn't concern me as much because I'm not working off it. But nevertheless, that's why I'm in the market to upgrade to something that's SSD.
Well, I will say that I'm not affiliated with OWC, but OWC is a top company and I went with them. Otherworld Computing and Mac Sales. And again, I'm not affiliated, but I went with them and I'm really, really happy. And, you know, I did get mechanical drives. I got the Thunder Bay Mini and super, super great. But I really found that to do a solid state of the same configuration would be, mine cost just under $1,000. To do a solid state, it would be probably $1,700-$1,800. So it's not there yet. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. Okay. I think my Synology NAS was close to $6,000 with the four terabyte SSD drives in it.
So just to explain to people, what exactly is that? You just basically have, it's a network server, I guess, but for people in layman's terms, it allows you or other people outside of your home to work off it as if it's a...
Yeah, it's a hard drive that's plugged into my router. Basically, that's the, you know, in simplest terms, a NAS is just a hard drive that's plugged into a router versus plugged into your computer. And I map a network drive on my computer, on my MacBook, and on my PCs. I create a virtual drive letter, like H is one of the shares on my NAS. And when I go on my computer and I go to the H drive, I'm actually accessing the hard drives that are on my server in my laundry room specifically. But they have a lot more capability in that there's software on them that allows you to run services to be able to share files outside of my own Wi-Fi network, right?
But your cat sleeps on it in your laundry room, so do you get hair inside the fan?
It doesn't make any noise. So.
Your cat or the okay. Well, listen, I want to interrupt you just to say we're going to be sponsored by HD Photo Hub, and it's a back office system designed just for real estate photographers. Give your clients a place to download their photos, make updates to their property websites, get flyers and social media tiles, and so much more, all on a platform that is branded to your company. Check them out today at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com.
Thank you, Rich.
With that, we'll go back to technology. So good stuff.
Yeah,
Chris.
So summarizing the NAS, it's a array of hard drives, a RAID actually, that I have that's on my local network, but I can also grant access to it to my other photographers and my editors. So they all have access to it too. I give them a login for it. And there's an app that they run on their desktops to be able to get to Like when I put stuff on the H drive, I can load that stuff on the H drive and tell my editor, hey, you got work on the server. He goes on and he does the work, and he's actually working out of my laundry room, you know, which is pretty incredible.
But what does he do with the cat in your laundry room?
Don't ask what happens in the laundry room.
Your wife is not happy. Okay.
And so with network attached storage, two companies, Synology and QNAP, are kind of like the Coke and Pepsi of the Synology or of the NAS world. They're the top two, at least in terms of like consumer and small business network attached storage. And I looked at both of them closely, and Synology had a couple of features that were particularly appealing to me, but either one of those companies produce incredible NAS. I don't have to use Dropbox anymore. My God, what a blessing it was to drop the old Dropbox routine. I never have to upload or download anything. If I need to send clients, you know, some files, I have my own Dropbox. I go onto the server and I create a share link and I send it to them, and they download it directly from my laundry room. So,
and there's no way that they can screw it up. They just don't have permission or the ability to interfere with something.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like in Dropbox, you know.
And I guess Dropbox is basically just not in my laundry room. It's an offsite, the same thing.
Dropbox is a network attached storage.
You pay a lot of money for each thing, but
you don't own it. Yeah. I own mine, so I don't have to upload or download anything ever.
But I get the feeling, unless you have multiple photographers or other editors that work for you, it might be overkill to have a NAS. Is that correct?
I use it when I'm on the road. I got a little 13-inch laptop, and it's really nice. You know, when I've got an hour in between jobs, you know, if I'm, say, I'm a half an hour from home and I got an hour in between jobs, you know, I used to go to a coffee shop. Now I go to a parking garage somewhere, and I can work off my server. You know, I've got access to those network drives, and I've got access to all my files on the road. That's really nice. Other than that, not a big benefit. When I go on vacation, we've been getting a cabin in the mountains in the summer. You know, I don't have to bring any of my work with me. I've got access to it all on the network.
No, it's nice because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm in the midst of all these travel shoots, and I have a bunch of these little SSD drives that I carry with me. So after every day of shooting, I just come and I take all the files and put them on two of these drives and just carry them around. But yeah, I mean, it would be pretty neat if I can just send them right to my server at home, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking. I've done a lot of travel commercial work, you know, using external hard drives, and my God, it's nerve-wracking.
I have two that I download my files to every day after the shoot, and then once a week I just put everything onto a third one at the end of the week just to have it. Because on the road I'm relying on hotel internet, so my crash plan doesn't really work at all as far as backing up to the cloud. So I have it twice, and then the end of the week I put it on a third spot.
Another great advantage for me personally, with the NAS versus the external hard drives, is my actual home office is a converted garage. I mean, this wouldn't apply to everybody, but just as an example. And it gets hot in there in the afternoon, and it's an old garage. I don't really like being in there. So I got a really nice laptop, and I like working, sitting in the living room with the kids, or being upstairs in the evening. When I come home in the evening, I need to sort and cull files, right? I don't have to sit in the garage and do it. I go upstairs and I get in bed with my wife and I pull up my laptop, and I can work from anywhere that I can access my network, which is just about anywhere actually. So it's really nice to be able to have the freedom to be able to have everything that I'm working on virtual, basically. I'm not tied down to being, you know, sitting at the computer that everything's plugged into.
Cool. I know we're running low on time because you got to run out to a shoot, Chris, but let's jump in for a few minutes quickly to cloud backups. Is there anything specifically that people should look for when they're looking for a service to use, or are they kind of all one and the same? I mean, honestly, I probably signed up for CrashPlan only because they ran a special for some reason. And now at this point, I've been with them for, I think, 10 years or 8 years, something like that. So I've just stuck with them. But is there any advantage of one over the other, or what people should look for in a cloud backup?
No, I know CrashPlan is great. When I researched my first serious cloud engagement a couple of years ago, I chose Backblaze over CrashPlan, but I remember it was kind of like six of one, a half a dozen the other. I don't really remember what it was that steered me over to Backblaze in particular. It might have been cost. You know, cost is an issue. I remember, I think CrashPlan might have been a little more. I'm not really cost prohibitive. I just want to choose the best service. Mm-hmm. I gave Backblaze a trial run, and I liked the way that it worked. And so I used Backblaze for probably a year, and then about a year ago, Synology came up with their own cloud service, C2. Mm-hmm. And I switched over from Backblaze to Synology. And the simple reason is I love the way that kind of everything that runs off of my server, all of the services that I use, like the Synology Drive, the Synology Cloud Backup, the Synology Presto app, there's all these apps that I use to operate. And I like that they're all under one account, one login, one bill every month. You know, so Synology's cloud service that you can get that does come attached with any NAS that you buy from them is great. Mm-hmm. You can also integrate Backblaze, but I just like having everything under one service umbrella. But I know Amazon is really competitive with their cloud service now. They got real serious about that. So I know a lot of people are partial to Amazon, or you already have a Prime account or whatever, you're in the Amazon system. That would be one worth looking at. CrashPlan, Backblaze, Synology C2, if you have a Synology NAS. And then one more thing about the Synology and the QNAP NAS, they're, you know, the entry level models, you can get a 2-bay model for, I don't know, $200 or $300. Maybe you have to buy a couple of drives to put in there, but a NAS is not this incredibly robust, very expensive thing. You know, it's basically an external hard drive with some cool software on it that you plug into your router or your, instead of your computer. It's as simple as that. So the simple level NAS systems are incredible, and they all have integrated cloud plans that you can attach to them.
So let me ask, if someone out there is interested in learning more about this, because that's really a big part of what I had to go through to understand and learn more about the NAS or to go with the RAID 5 or whatever, where would you recommend sending people to understand that?
My gosh, that's tough.
Search for?
It's hard to say, you know. Because of my IT background, I never really had to think about that, actually. I still have to do homework and research on some things, but that's a tough call. I would say, you know, everybody's got that, maybe the nephew of the, you know, that's the tech whiz or something.
Can they call you? Just put out your phone number?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, okay. I love just talking about this stuff.
Just call Chris, or just call me. Everybody calls me anyway, so just
Yeah, you can look me up at onepointmediagroup.com. Number and email address is on there. I really do enjoy helping people, and I love talking about this stuff, obviously. So, yeah, I'd be happy to help. It can be very simple to very complex, you know, and mm-hmm. it just depends on what, you know, needs and budget.
So whatever you do, you've got to back up. If you're not backing up now and you're just getting into this, you're killing yourself. If you're not, I was going to use another word. You're killing yourself if you're not backed up.
Bottom line, in one long sentence, you need to have every photo you take professionally, you need to have two copies at your office or home, and you need to have one copy offsite. It would be nice if one of the copies, if your so-called backup copy at home is on a RAID device, but it doesn't have to be. An external hard drive is just fine. Keep a copy on your hard drive, a copy on an external hard drive, and have a cloud backup service that's taking everything that you're shooting every day and putting it on a cloud at night.
And a Costco drive is better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Immensely better than nothing. Yeah. One other thing, though, I got to say, while we're talking about cloud backups and this strategy, there are different ways to program a cloud backup, and that actually does get relatively complicated. The question is, let's say that I delete a folder on my server or on my hard drive. most cloud services, when they're scanning your drives that night to see what they need to copy over, if they see something is gone, it will delete it. You know, like, oh, that doesn't need to be on here anymore. You can program them to keep deleted files for 30, 60, 90 days, or infinitely. But if you keep them for, you know, deleted files infinitely, then your cost is going to go way up because your everything you create is always being kept. So like when I delete stuff and I put it on that archive drive in my closet, it's going off the cloud too. Because right now, you know, I don't want to afford 40 or 50 terabytes of cloud service every month. It's too expensive.
No, that's good.
So just know that if you delete a file and you have this automated system like I'm talking about, it could be deleting on your external drive and then on your cloud. So the biggest risk to any data is the user.
Yeah, I'm happy you mentioned that because I actually have that with my crash plan. I have to keep my deleted files for a year, and it's actually saved me multiple times.
Sure.
Not even files that I didn't back up, but something quick that I had on my desktop literally for like 2 hours that I just needed to like work on and get out that I wasn't, you know, and, you know, a month later, the client was like, hey, I never got that. And I was like, okay. And I had it there. I didn't back it up properly, whatever the case was. But I'm able to go into Crash Plan's recovery page and click. There's a little chat box that says show deleted files, and it'll show everything within the last year that actually deleted off that drive.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. A year is great. You know, if your plan can afford you to keep deleted files for a year, that's super. Because you think after a year, probably, you know, I don't think much would come back to haunt you, but you know, you never know. A lot of those services will only keep deleted files for 30 days, but you can program them to your needs as long as you're willing to pay for the storage.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Chris, I know you have to run now off to a Twilight shoot. Before we go, I want to thank one of our final sponsors, iGUIDE. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography. To add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs free by adding code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And so, Chris, we want to thank you for giving us a few minutes and hope we didn't, first off, bore people with all this nerdy talk, and secondly, confuse people. But, you know, like we said before, if you take anything out of this, it's just make sure you're backed up 3 times. Doesn't matter how, just make sure you're backed up twice locally, once in the cloud or offsite. If, you know, Rich is bringing his drives to his neighbor's house, that counts as offsite. So, 3 times. That's the takeaway off this 1 hour nerd discussion. But
great to talk to you guys. Always enjoy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and keep pumping out that awesome work. Those videos, man, you're pumping out are looking amazing. And
again, Chris, tell us your website so people can check out your work.
One Point Media Group, all spelled out, O-N-E.
Cool. Yeah, you've got
.com. Yeah.
You got to look to your Twilights also. You have the some of the most wonderful Twilights, and the interior lights of your Twilights are fantastic. You do light painting with a flashlight. You do some really great stuff. I couldn't do it, so I didn't keep doing the.
It takes patience, Rich.
It's funny.
It takes brains, you know.
So, I have it right here, and I bought it after I saw you use it on one of the shoots, and I think I've used it once.
I tried it several times. I thought it was the answer, but it wasn't the answer for me.
No, it's great. It's great. I don't shoot enough Twilights that it was worth the investment. So if anybody wants to buy an Eagle Tech, is that what it is? Eagle Tech Light.
Eagle Tech?
Eagle Tech. Just shoot me a message and I'll...
The one you recommended.
Anyway, I'll give you a good deal. It's a great light. So I just don't shoot enough. So thanks for coming on, Chris. And Rich, as always, thank you.
Yeah. What a great opportunity. Everybody.
Yeah, we want to remind everyone to submit some Ask the Guys questions.
Yeah. Subscribe to shootingspacespodcast.com. We have shootingspacespodcast.com and shootingspaces.net. It's a tongue twister for me.
If that damn company in the UK would have just sold us shootingspaces.com, it would have been so much
easier. What a son of a gun. Anyway, listen, so great to hear from you. for Chris. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. And as always, thank you so much. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, our podcast, and please go out there, make better pictures, shoot smarter, shoot better, and be sure whatever you're doing, just go out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.